go ahead and get started here. If anybody needs one, I've got extras up there.
Say hi to Terry.
Terry? Hi, Terry.
There you go.
Hi, Terry.
Terry, the one in England?
Yeah.
Okay, what page? Who's Terry?
Well, good. We're enjoying wonderful January weather here. We didn't get any of the blizzard, so we're up to like 70 degrees the last couple days, so we're loving it. But we'll go ahead and get started here tonight. A couple things to go over. We do use the Emphasized Bible. It's Rotherham's. I'm also going to go over some things here out of this. This is also a wonderful resource. Okay, and this is the Bullinger's Companion Bible, and there's appendixes in the back of this, or appendices, I guess. I don't know. As we were having that discussion on what's the plural of fish. I go on some fish, right? Just fish. Anyways, same thing here. Appendix in here. There's a wonderful resource. We're going to be doing some out of it this tonight. It's available. You can also look at that online, and that's the next slide here. If you go to Telios Ministries, okay, and the webpage here is right here, teliosministries.com. Right in the middle of the page, you're going to see this here with the Emphasized Bible and the Companion Bible, and you're able to look along and follow along, and there's wonderful notes that will lead you to the appendix that will tell you. Word searches on here is great. And so it does a lot of the Hebrew. It will tell you and it'll break down the definitions. Our language versus Hebrew and Greek, there's missed things that between the other languages. And so it kind of helps bring those all together. Anyhow, next one here also is joshuagen.org. So it's www.joshuagen.org. And this is a charity that is run also that we do to help people in Africa for their ministries to build up the body of Christ. All right, so here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to kind of do a little bit of study. How old were they when, who would like to tell me, when the Levites could minister? When David became a king? When Ezekiel started his ministry? There's that. Here we go. So we're going to go through these, and I've got a lot of scripture. We're not going to go to all of them because I've got too many to go to all to each one. I wouldn't be able to make it. So Genesis 41:46. Now Joseph was 30 years old when he took his station before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Reckon up the sums of the sons of Kohath. You guys remember I did the teaching, about 18 months ago about Kohath, right? Sons of Kohath. Out of the midst of the sons of Levi, by their families, by their ancestral house, from 30 years old and upwards, even unto 50 years old, everyone that can enter the host to do service in the tent of the meetings, this shall be the labor of the sons of Kohath in the tent of meetings, the most holy things. This is a very, very honorable thing, okay? 30 years old. Then did Moses and Aaron and the princes of the assembly, number of the sons of Kohathites by their families and by their ancestral house from 30 years on older, or 30 years upwards. Okay. Now the Levites were numbered from 30 years old upwards, and their number by their polls of mature men was 38,000.
Wow.
Okay. Now they were keeping track of these. And remember, throughout the word, there was times in the Old Testament when you had to be, the census would take place, where you would keep track of how many there were. And we kept track of the genealogy. And the genealogy was very important because of lineage for the royalty, for the Levites, for who could be able to do the priestly duty. Duties, if you will, the priestly duties. Sorry, a little bit of movie trivia there. 30 years old was David when he began his reign. 40 years he reigned. Anybody seeing a pattern here? A little bit of history, okay? And in Ezekiel, it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, on the 5th day of the month, being in the midst of them of the captivity by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of Yahweh, or Elohim, okay, in here. All right, so here's what we see. And then now we see here for Christ, for Yahushua. And Yahushua himself was, when he began, about 30 years of age, being son, as was supposed, of Joseph of Heli, or Heli, however you say that. Okay? And we're going to kind of take a look at this, and we're going to see. So the lineage and the genealogy was important. And it's kind of hard to make an interesting teaching out of genealogy. You know, it's like teaching about a bridge. You know, everybody's like going, oh boy, yeah, more coffee, please. Okay, but we're going to take a look at it because it is important, and we're going to see that there was a battle, waging for this. So the line to Yahushua, what's the difference in the genealogies between Matthew and Luke? Anyone?
One is the genealogy of Mary, one is the genealogy of Joseph.
That's right, and what is Matthew representing for Yahushua versus Luke?
Luke is his mother, and Matthew is Joseph.
Right. That's right, king. That's right. And so the lineage and the genealogies, a lot of times when you read verbiage about the two books, they always get tied up on there. And that's what I love about the Companion Bibles. It breaks it down, how it was written, why it was written, in different, showing Christ or Yehoshua in different aspects. Okay? And so in Matthew, we're going to see that Matthew is from Abraham to Yehoshua. Okay? Three groups of generations, 14 in each one. Now you will see, and we're going to kind of skip over this, so I'm going to kind of lay it out as we go. But up front, there will be names that were omitted from there. And it was by law because of what they had done. They were omitted because the law told them to omit them. They were supposed to be omitted from there. And so I'll kind of go over that briefly, but it was three groups of 14 each. In Luke, it's Adam to Yehoshua, 75 names. Okay? So let's start off here in Matthew 1:17. And it's going to be on page 1. Actually, I don't even think there's a page number on that one. So it's the one with no page number.
Yeah, find that.
Matthew 1:17. Between Revelations and Mark. Probably. Okay, 17. So then, all the generations from Abraham unto David are 14 generations, and from David unto the removal to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the removal of Babylon unto the Christ, 14 generations. Okay, and this is where we're looking at it. And so this was the lineage for Christ as king, or Yehoshua as king. This is directly taken out of the Companion Bible. And this is where I like it. This is the appendix. This is 99. And so when you go to the appendix, this will show this. And it shows this. Now, I've added Matthew and Luke up here because it was way at the top and so that you could see this. Because it is a copy of it, so it's a little bit harder to see. But you see it shows the regal line. Okay, legal line, I'm sorry, legal, and the natural legal line. And so you see from here, Elohim, Adam, this is the Luke side here where it's going all the way through of man, and of Matthew here, it's of king. And so we start off in Abraham, and there you see the first 14 over here, which stops at David, which is interesting because it stops at David. And then you see the second group here, this is the next one, is David the king. Okay, David the king, and then you see over here that it continues down, it just goes down the line, and over here you see it goes through. Now, as I was telling you before, you see a couple of them on right here. These were the notes that I was kind of going over and talking to you about names that were omitted because of the law. Last 14, or the last generation, last group of three, on Matthew, do you see here, it ends up at Joseph. And you see over here, and it's kind of interesting, because this is one of the things that is nice about the Rotherham. In other translations, it will say the son of, the son of, the son of, the son of, the son of. The son of is, the son is added to every single one of those. It's not in the text. It's added. It just says of this person, of this person, of this person. So all that's added in there. So when you see Joseph, son of Heli, that's Mary's mother.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Mary's mother. And so you see on here it says, the reckoned, according to law, Luke 3:23, of Heli, or however you say that name, I really don't know, Heli, by betrothal of Heli's daughter, therefore also according to law, husband of. Okay, and so when you go through, it's kind of interesting to see this, because this is the lineage here that we go. Down here at the bottom, who is called Messiah? The son of Adam, or what most people refer to as the son of man, or the second Adam. Okay, the second Adam that comes. Now, as we go through here, the first Adam was given authority. It was given authority of the earth to possess, to hold, to control. And what happened with the second Adam? The first Adam lost it. He gave it away. The second Adam reclaimed it back for us. Reclaimed it back. So, think of that as we go through here. The line to Yehoshua. And this is where we're going to kind of pick this up, and we're going to see this. Because what we're going to find out is right off the bat, there was a fight. Okay, Yahweh's arch enemy was fighting against everything he did. When we get, and I don't want to jump ahead of this, but from the fall of the sons of Elohim to the temptations of Yahushua, this is what we're looking at, adversarial text against the attack against the promised seed. The fall of the sons of Elohim. So let's just start here with this. Sons of Elohim. Now, again, when you read it in the Companion Bible, sons of Elohim is a spirit created by Yahweh. There are evil and there are good. Okay? And so when you see the sons of Elohim, depending on the context, when we're looking at it here, the sons of Elohim, these were wicked entities. Wicked entities. And the time of the fall is given as having taken place in the days of Noah. And this is important as we go through this, because this is something that too many people miss. And, well, did this really happen? Did that really happen? The adversary has been against our Creator from the point that he was kicked out. Okay? That he tried to change the rules. In Genesis 3:15, when the sin took place, and Yahweh said that he'll crush your head and you'll crush his heel, okay? Was Cain and Abel born? They were not. They were not born yet. There was no offspring at this point. So guess what's going to happen right off the bat? Boy, gee, Cain and Abel come along, and this was he was told what was going to happen to him before they were ever born. Before they were born. The battle was on. The battle was on. It was going to start. We're going to pick up here, though, right here with the sons of Elohim. Days of Noah, their progeny called Nephilim. There is a wonderful appendix in here, 23 and 25 in the Companion Bible, that is outstanding. It goes over this. Supernatural, monsters of iniquity, being superhuman in size and character. They had to be destroyed. Only wicked all the day. Okay, we're going to kind of look this over. The one and only reason for the flood. Let's go to Jude 1:6. Just kind of a tough place to get to.
I
can
get some
water.
Sorry.
She's not
I know, it's hard because she can't. She's we don't wait for her. Okay. If we don't wait for her, then she can't.
Okay, Jude 1. It's right, the book right before Revelations, guys. Jude 1:6. All right. 1:6, and I'll go ahead and read this here. We're on the top left column of 251. Messengers also. Now, most translations will say angels. Okay? Messengers also. Okay, here we go. Messengers also. Even them who had not kept their own principality, but had forsaken their proper dwelling, unto the judgment of the great day, in perpetual bonds under thick gloom hath been reserved, had broken free. This is sons of Elohim. Okay? That are wicked entities. And so let's go back now, jump all the way back to the front, where we're going to see a little bit of this. We're going to see a flavor of this, if you will. Okay, Genesis 6, first book. If somebody would read 4 and 5 for me when you guys get to it. And these are the sons of Elohim. And we're going to see that where it will show in. It will say in the, even in this book, it will say sons of God. Okay, the word, the Hebrew word for that is Elohim. I've shown that before, but that's the Hebrew word for it.
Elijah wants to read.
Okay, verses 4 and 5 of 6, please.
Just a minute, wait for a moment.
The giants were in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of Yahweh began to go unto the daughters of men, and sons were born to them, the same were the heroes that were from age past times, the men of renown. Mm-hmm. Then Yahweh said, saw that great was the wickedness of man in the earth, and that every purpose of the devices of his heart was only wicked all the day.
That's it. So everything that they produced, everything that they did was wicked. Everything. Now that's kind of speaks it out right there. The great was the wickedness of man in the earth. The earth was, what was happening is the bloodline's coming. We know that the bloodline's coming because the seed of the woman will crush your head. You will crush his heel. And so when we say, hey, We stop the whole bloodline. We stop the bloodline, and what do? We avert what's inevitable for him. Okay, and this is it. The eruption of the fallen messengers, okay, angels in most translation, was an attempt of the adversary to prevent the coming seed of the woman. And that's it right here. And so we also see that, like I said, we can all back this all the way up to Cain and Abel. There was no bad environment for Cain and Abel. Okay, wonderful environment. And yet, lost two sons. Lost two sons. Mm-hmm. One of them killed and is basically banished. The other one is dead. And so we're starting over now. And guess where the bloodline comes from?
Seth.
Yeah, comes from Seth. Okay, so to me, I look at that and I'm like going, here's strike one to try to stop this bloodline, to stop what's going to come. If this could be accomplished, a race corrupted from the sons of Elohim, Yahweh's word would have failed and his adversary would have averted his own doom. Okay, as soon as it was made known that the seed of the woman is to come through Abraham. Okay, so now we're trying to pollute this, and so we go through where everything had to be wiped clean to preserve the line, and it was. Okay, it was wiped clean, and now as soon as we find out it comes back, everything starts again. We see right off the bat people who were very familiar with Noah. Okay, Nimrod. Okay, what happened? These are direct ancestors. I mean, that would know. Started corrupting everything all over again. Okay, started again. As soon as it was known that the seed of the woman was to come through Abraham, there must have been another eruption. Now, here's where I call it, and here's where I see it within the Companion Bible. The giants were in the earth in those days. The giants were wiped out. The giants were in those days and also after. How? Because David killed one. We know that. He killed more than one. Okay, others were killed. So guess what? This happened again. It took place again. The adversary is working to stop this line, to cease from the having his head crushed. The days of Noah, more than 500 years after the first eruption. The aim of the enemy was to occupy Canaan in advance of Abraham so as to contest its occupation of the seed, the promised land. All right, go to Genesis 12. Flip over a couple pages here. 12:6. Melania, you want to read that for me?
1 second.
Okay.
11:13.
Up here.
I need to get to it myself. I didn't have that one
marked.
So,
right here? That's where I start?
Yeah, verse 6.
Just 6. Verse 6, that's right.
Therefore.
It's right in the middle. And Abram.
Okay.
Abram.
Okay, and Abram passed along through the land as far as the place of
Shechem,
as far as the teacher Terebinth. The Canaanite began then in the land.
That's it. That's all. Okay, and this is, when we're looking at this here for Canaanite, this is also where we're looking at who was occupying it, who was in the land, who was taking it. Flip over one more page here to Genesis 4:5. Okay, 14:5. I'm sorry. 14:5. Okay, and I will go ahead and read that. 14 verse 5. Okay, and it's in the middle of that first column. Okay, and I'll just start there on 5. And in the 14th year had Chedorlaomer, however, come in, and the kings who were with him, so they smote the Rephaim in Ashtoreth Karnaim, and Zusim the Ham, and in Eman, and the rest of them. Anyways, they came in and smote them. The point of this is, without me butchering all these names, okay, is this right here. Rephaim right here. This is it. And so when you see this, this is when I look at the Hebrew word for this. Here's what you see. Okay, this is giants, Rephaim, of the old tribe of giants. So are the Nephilim, so is Anakin?
Mm-hmm.
Anakin. So you see that these here, they were back. Okay, this was another eruption of these things that came back in to try to pervert things, to try to take over and stop this bloodline. And that's what this was about. This was more than to cause havoc. This was to see something, to could put a complete roadblock in front. Yahweh intervenes two times for Abraham to protect the promised seed. And this is kind of neat because a lot of times you'll miss this, but when we know that the seed's going to come from Abraham, guess what? How long was it before we had children?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We're like going, yeah, it's coming from this guy. We are the seed of Abraham. With that last teaching I had, that we are the seed. And so when we see this, two times, Yahweh personally intervened to protect this, to protect what was coming. Okay, and I'm going to read these here. In Egypt, and Yahweh plagued Pharaoh with great plagues, also his house, for the matter of Sarai, wife of Abram. okay, to preserve this, to keep it preserved. And why? Because he's going to take her as a wife. Again, in Gerar, in Genesis 23, then Elohim went in unto Abimelech in the dream of the night and said unto him, Behold thee dead, because of the woman whom thou hast taken, seeing that she is a married woman. And what's neat is when you read this whole story, he pleads with him, Wait a minute! I had no idea. She told me that it was her brother. I had no idea. I wouldn't do this. And he's like, going, yeah, you're right. You're right. Basically, just turn her back over. Just want to protect her. I'm like going, good. Very good. So this is another time. So he's protecting. This is the bloodline that we know is going to come. The whole story of how it came, of how the child does come. And so we do have the child in the bloodline. We know it's coming from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And we're going to follow that line down. And that is the royalty where for Matthew it starts. At is at Abraham. So the battle for disrupting the seed, the destruction of the chosen family by famine. So the whole time as you go through here, it's one after another. Genesis 50:20, yea indeed, planned against me, evil. Elohim planned it for good, for sake of doing, as of this day, to save alive much people, to protect as many. And you see that when you go to Revelations, that Yahweh's going to shorten the days. Why? To protect, to make it easier for those people who are believers. Not the body of Christ. The body of Christ is gone. Okay? But for the people who are, that do believe at that point, that the days will be short. And why? Is to help preserve them. Same way. The destruction of the male line in Israel in Exodus 1:16. When ye act as midwives unto the Hebrew women, then shall ye look out for the sex. If it is a son, then shall ye kill it. But if it is for a daughter, then shall it live. Okay, again, just one attempt after another. Pharaoh's attempt to destroy the entire nation in Exodus. So the Egyptians pursued them and overtook them, encamping by the sea all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his forces to destroy them. Okay, to go through and destroy them after Yahweh had done this and set them free, basically through multiple calamities that took place to them. Not to the Jewish people, but just to them. After David's line was singled out, okay, guess what happens? We know that David's going to be the father, okay, that he's going to come through him. David was the second of the generations, okay, the second one. And so the first king that we see, guess what? We know it's coming from him. Guess what's going to happen is we're going to go after him. Jehoram killed off all his brothers. But when Jehoram had arisen over the kingdom of his father and strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword, moreover, also some of the rulers of Israel. Okay, the Arabians slew all the children except Ahaziah. Mm-hmm. And when Athaliah, his mother, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, so you know that that's a good bloodline there, mm-hmm. killed all the seed of royal, the babe Joash alone was rescued for 6 years. During this time, this is it. Everything's hinging on the one guy that's going to come, the bloodline through him. Okay, that's all being all this was at stake. Let's flip over to 2 Chronicles. About a good inch and a half.
Tiger down the ground.
After first thing you
let go of it. Use both hands on your Bible.
Second Corinthians.
Chronicles.
I'm sorry. I'm
dropping the floor.
2 Chronicles 23:2. Okay. And I will read this here. 23:2-3.
Kind of hard to find.
It is kind of hard to find there. It's going to be right on the top of 455-ish, or I'm sorry, on the bottom of 454, whatever that is there. Okay, starting in verse 2 and verse 3. And they went round throughout Judah and gathered together the Levites out of the cities of Judah and the ancestral chiefs of Israel. And they came into Jerusalem, and all the convocation solemnized a covenant in the house of Elohim with the king. And they said to them, Let the king's son... Lo, the king's son must reign, as spake Yahweh concerning the sons of David. Okay, and you see right above there, the notes above there, it says 17 right above chapter 23. Jehoiada the priest secures the royal succession to Joash, who reigns well during Jehoiada's life and then becomes corrupt and blah, blah, blah. We see it happen over and over and over again. But this is the bloodline, and there were some people that fell during the bloodline, but that was still came about. Hezekiah was childless when an assault and made by the kings of Assyria. And as you look through here, Hezekiah is right down in that line. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so I think to myself, all the stories of the things of that bloodline coming from there, that people that's not even written about, okay, of things where it's like going, yeah, it's just stop it. This is to try to stop it. Hezekiah was childless. Isaiah 36:1. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that
Sennacherib.
Thank you. King of Assyria came up against the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Okay. And then we get into Haman, okay, where we look in the bloodline as well. Plotted the destruction of entire nation. And this is kind of neat because this is where I think a lot of times we need to focus on it for ourselves as the body of Christ. Okay, let's go over to Esther here.
It's Esther?
Right after Nehemiah.
What?
Right before Job.
499 is a vicinity.
Yes, it is. It is... going to be on the top of 496. 13 and 14.
Did you hear it light up at the chalker again? Where's that?
Okay. Top of 496, verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, okay? Basically, it said, and they told Mordecai the words of Esther. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. Do not think in thine own soul to escape the house of the king from among all the Jews. Okay? And 14. But if thou do indeed hold thy peace, at this time respite and deliverance will be appointed for the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house will perish. And who knows whether for a time such as this thou hast attained unto this royal estate. And I think about that for us as the body of Christ right now, where we look at it like, if you don't do it, going to have to put this on somebody else. But what's going to be missed in the way? Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about some of the old teachings where you're playing a game of chess with this guy. He's a world-renowned chess player. You know he's going to win, but the moves that you're doing along the way can vary. And that's the same with us. It can vary with us. Yahweh, what we know is written in here, but what happens along the way? What happens along the way is where we intervene. You know, same thing with Christ, where I look at it for Christ. I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but Christ... what was the purpose of Christ coming?
For the law.
It was for the law, and it was to redeem the sins. Okay, he was to be unblemished, to die. So he read about everything he was going to do. And along the way, he sit idle waiting? Okay, call me when you're ready. Until then, I'm just going to be hanging out in the house, reading the scrolls. He was out. He was doing the things. He's like, along the way, I'm going to be out busy. I'm going to be doing this and I'm going to be doing that. And I think the same thing for us. As we're out and about and we're on our way, if we don't do it, somebody else is going to have to. So as we're out and about, it should be our attitude that, hey, if I don't do this, somebody else will. Well, what if they get offended? What if they're upset? So what? I think to myself, for those people you do reach, there'll be a day when those people, thank you. In paradise, those people will be like, thank you. I never would. You were the one who reached out and hit me. You're the one who touched me and made me believe. Okay, so that I look at that and I think to myself, the same thing with Christ, all the people that he touched, all the people who fed off of him, and yet that stuff, that's extra, that was bonus, Joseph, Mary being with child of Joseph, being a just man, was contemplating divorcing her privately, but did not want Mary to be stoned to death. Okay, obviously we know that Mary is carrying the only begotten. Okay, let's go to Matthew here. Well, I'm just going to read this for sake of time here. I'll just go ahead and read this. Matthew 1, 18 through 20. Now the birth of Yahushua Mashiach, or Jesus Christ, was thus. His mother Mary, having been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child by the Holy Spirit. Moreover, Joseph, her husband, being righteous and yet unwilling to expose her, intended privately to divorce her. But when these things he had pondered, lo, a messenger of the Lord, or of Yahweh, by dream appeared to him, saying, Joseph, son of David, okay, this is where I say, son of David, coming from them. We didn't go all those in between. We went right to David. By son of David, do not fear to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which in her hath been begotten is of the Holy Spirit. Okay, to protect her. Herod now is going to go after the child, to stop the child. Darby, you always have to find the loudest things, don't you? And the king sought to destroy the promised seed, told the wise men to search out accurately concerning the child, because he really wanted to go and honor this child, right? That I also may come and bow myself down to it. Messenger instructed the wise men in a dream not to return unto Herod, but to go a different way, not to tell, to reveal. And this is a great point, because as we go through this, Christ had to flee their own country to do this. And so for us, when we think to ourselves, we're going to do what Yahweh says. Well, Yahweh told them to leave to go to a pagan country. to go to pagan country. It's neat when you go through and you look at this, because Yahweh will say in Isaiah, I call my son out of Egypt. You're like going, well, when you read that back then, you're like going, what the heck does that mean? Out of Egypt? Is a lion coming through Egypt? No! He called his son from Egypt back home. Okay? Because he went to Egypt to flee Herod until Herod died. And you know what? Herod was still alive for a while and caused all kinds of havoc and did all kinds of damage. Messenger Yahweh instructed Joseph to take the child to Egypt to escape Herod. Herod had all male children 2 years and under slay. And let's flip to this one here. Let's go ahead and go to Matthew 2:8.
In the first book of the New Testament.
All right. And I'm kind of jump through here because there are different verses here for this. But everybody there, we're on Matthew 2, which is going to be on page 2, actually. I'm going to be reading 8, 12 through 13, and 16. So I'll go ahead and start in 8, and we're kind of jumping around for kind of sake of time here. And sending them to Bethlehem said, go search out accurately. Okay, and who's this doing? In verse 7, then Herod privately calling the wise men. And in verse 8, and sending them to Bethlehem said, go search out accurately concerning the child. And as soon as ye find it, bring report unto me that I also may come and bow myself down to it. Let's go to verse 12 through 13. Verse 12 down the page there. Okay? And being instructed by dream not to return unto Herod, by another way retired they unto their own country. And also in verse 13, now, when they had retired, the wise men, lo, a messenger of Yahweh appeared by dream to Joseph, saying, arise, take thee unto the child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there until I tell thee, for Herod is about to seek the child to destroy it. Okay. And so what would have been easier, and I think I've done this before, what would have been easier is for Yahweh just to, well, let's smite this dude and get rid of this cat. Because he's going to kill a lot of people. He's going to kill a lot of people, but we're going to protect the line. We're going to save the line. The temptation of the adversary, the next one. And this is a big one, because I think a lot of times people miss this. Could Christ have missed it and not made it? Mm-hmm. I know a lot of times people say, well, he's God. Of course not. Wrong. Okay? He went through everything that we did and temptations beyond anything I've done, and he could have failed. He could have failed, and it was a huge gamble. It was a huge gamble that he would come through and follow through to do exactly what his father had sent him to do, but he was tempted, and he's tempted at the peak time. So think about that. You know, when you were in your weakest, and now the biggest temptation that you have is now placed right before you. And so let's just see 40 days of fasting in the wilderness, tempted to make the stones turn to bread. This is kind of interesting. This was a neat little thing that Bullinger had done. The circumstances were such as to make it appear plausible and proper to work this miracle. Okay? Appear plausible and proper. Boy, is the adversary ever work that into you? To appear, well, this seems plausible. It seems natural because we can justify anything, right? We can justify why it's okay to do that. You know, at this point, well, this is kind of extenuating circumstances. We're going to make it proper. So plausible and proper to work this miracle. Here you are, was the language of the adversary. Hungry, cast out, alone, needy, poor, and yet the son of Yahweh. Okay, boy, yeah, you know what? I am this person. What am I doing? What's going on? If you have this power, how easy could you satisfy your wants? How foolish is it then for the Son of Yahweh, having all power, to be starving in this manner, when by a word he could show his power and relieve his wants, and when in the thing itself there could be nothing wrong? Okay, and I love that. I'm like going, that puts it into perspective, because this is a temptation to where you're like going, wow, right there, going to hit on every weak spot or everything that you can possibly try to pry into. Tempted to cast thyself down. Tempted to receive all kingdoms of the world and their glory if Yahushua would fall down and worship him. Yahushua under great distress and grief, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Now what happened? Because a lot of times people will say this to me, well, he knew what he had to do. Yes, of course he knew what he had to do. It was written about. He went to go pray two times. Now, if he is God, A, who is he praying to? And B, why is he praying? He knows what's going to happen. He would just go through the motions and be done with it. He prayed intently. He prayed intently. And again with this, I think about this. If he's told you what you're going to do and then asks you of a couple people to come and watch with him while he goes through this torment, and you fall asleep both times, I'm like going, what was going on? How could you, Darby? Would you push her down? She's going to get right in the way of the camera. Is she in the way?
Now she is.
Darby, get out. We've got some ham animals here. But how this would happen, where he gets up to time. Can you imagine that, the guilt that they would feel later about that? Can't believe I fell asleep. Yeah. You know, we should have kept each other awake. What was going on? Okay, what was happening? But two times he did in torment to try to have this. He knew what was going to happen, but if it was possible to have it taken for him. So I'll read that. 26:37-39. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be grieved and to be in great distress. Then saith he unto them, encompassed with grief is my soul unto death. Abide ye here and be watching with me. And going forward a little, he fell upon his face, offering prayer and saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass before me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Okay, and so this was the last thing. If there is any other way, let it pass before me. And there was no answer. There was no answer. And so he knew what he had to do, and then he went and did it. He went to go do what he had to do. Okay? First attempt, the eruption of the sons of Elohim. When Abraham was called, then he and his seed were attacked. David was enthroned, the royal line was assailed. When the seed of the woman, Yahushua, had come, then the storm burst upon him. And so it brings it to us, okay? The adversary had no idea what was going to take place by crucifying Christ. Okay, had no idea. So when Christ was gone, and 3 days later, and the numbers are fantastic, because I was going through and preparing for this, all the numbers of the 30, okay, which is, when you look up the word 30, it's series of threes. Okay, that's how it's written. It's the series of threes. Okay, so when you're going through there, well, series of three is 10. 10 times 3, okay? Which the numbers are just incredible on how to do this. But as you look at this afterwards, and all these were attacked, all these, soon as it was known what was going to happen, the adversary did not know what was going to happen after Christ was dead, after Christ was igarod, was awakened back up, and what was going to take place. And so when, and it's funny because it's like all of a sudden when news flash, guess what? It's, you know, it's like I said once before, where you step on the egg of a spider, and it busts open, and 10,000 of them just start scurrying about. Okay, that's what happened that day. That's what happened. That's what the adversary saw. Okay, do you think he stopped? Do you think he stopped there, Billy? Hands down, I'm done. He has been fighting and attacking. So what happens now with the body of Christ? Well, you can't do this. You don't have that power. You can't speak in tongues. You can't prophesy. Who do you think you are that you can speak to the Creator? Let me remind you of your sins. You remember that? Hey, remember when you did this? You're not holy. You don't have that ability. And all these things. And plays upon us in the temptations of our own lives. And guess what? Pretty effective. Pretty effective. But at the same point, I think to myself, the same way that the bloodlines were attacked is the same way that the body of Christ is attacked. And that if we stand up and we fight for it, we bust through. And guess what? We make those connections. And we bring those people about. And so as we're doing our walk, we know what our future is. Same way that Christ knew what his future is. But in the interim, where we go and what we do, all extra credit. Go do this. Go do this. Go do these things. To be out and to be saving and to be speaking the healing. And so it's like, you know, if you come up to somebody, hey, I'm able to do healing. Would you like some? Anybody need any healing? Well, yeah, I do. Well, come on down. Come on. Let's do it. And so you're like, well, I don't have the faith. We'll bring it. We'll show you how to do this. And I love that because when we talk about faith and a mustard seed, okay, everybody's been told they've been given a measure of faith. And then a mustard seed, being one of the tiniest of the seeds, is able to grow into something. So I have a little faith. Well, build on it. Start working on it. And that's where we help, and we do it for ourselves and for our family as well. Okay, we're going to finish here in Psalms 136. And this is a long one, and I'll go ahead and read it.
It's really long.
Yeah, I couldn't put it on the screen because there was too much. So you have to read it out of the book. All right, 136 on page 599. Starting in verse 10. Okay, and so these are all the things. I think about that, that we have been empowered. And as the body of Christ, we were beyond the seed. Because guess what? The seed, to attack the seed from Abraham and from David, was for one guy to break that bloodline. And he broke through, and he did his job. And now put it back on to those people that come after into Christ. Will they continue to do his job, or will they let that seed be crushed? And that's where I go, no, we will not. We will not let that. Other people, yes, they'll be in paradise, but they're not doing what Christ, they're not replicating Christ. As Christ is alive and within us, they're not standing out and doing those things. That power, it's all lacking of the power to go do these things. Okay, here we go, 136, verse 10. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, which sounds kind of harsh, this was to get them to succumb, to let Yahweh's people go to protect this bloodline. For age abiding is his loving kindness, and brought forth Israel out of their midst. For age abiding is his loving kindness, with a firm hand and a stretched out arm. For age abiding is his loving kindness. Verse 13, to him that divided the Red Sea into divisions, for age abiding is his loving kindness, and caused Israel to pass through the midst thereof, for age abiding is his loving kindness, and shook off Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for age abiding is his loving kindness, and to him that led his people through the desert, for age abiding is his loving kindness, to him that smote great kings, for age abiding is his loving kindness, and slew majestic kings, for age abiding is his loving kindness, even Sheol, king of the Amorites, for age abiding is his loving kindness. Also Og, king of Bashan, for age abiding is his loving kindness. And gave their land for an inheritance, for age abiding is his loving kindness. An inheritance to Israel, his servant, for age abiding is his loving kindness. Who, in our low estate, remembered us, for age abiding is his loving kindness, and freed us with force from our adversaries, for age abiding is his loving kindness, who giveth food to all flesh, for age abiding is his loving kindness. Give ye thanks unto El of heavens, for age abiding is his loving kindness. So anyways, in closing, I just say that we have everything, we have all our needs met, that Yahweh's able to provide all these things, that we don't have to, we're very blessed that we don't have to go out and wonder where our food's going to come from and what we're going to do. So while we're doing this, we should not be absorbed in our daily things, but we should be always looking, where next? Where next? What next can I do for you? Okay? So I'll go ahead and finish here with the word, and I have a word for the people that are watching now or later. Yahweh, we just thank you for the opportunity to go through your word, to study the things that you've done, for us to be able to see the secrets and the gems that are just hidden within your word, that we're able to speak these words and just be with us and stir within us that we may every day check in asking for, where do I go? What would you like? I'm ready. Your servant awaits, so I'm here. Let me do your will and not my own will, that you will meet all of our needs. And as we are going about having our needs met, that we are meeting your needs and not looking and coming to you, I need this and I need that, for you know these things, but that we come to you, what do you need? What can I do? What can I be? Where can I go? And so we thank you for this. It just encouraging us always, building upon our faith, that we stand out and do these things, and as we fail on these, that we, each time that we learn from these things, that we're built up, that we are picked up from you as our Father, that we're able to just continually go out and do the things that you call us to do in the wisdom that you put upon us. We thank you for this and for the words that you speak, and I just come before you this evening in all this in your Son's name through Christ Jesus. My children, I have stored you up as priceless, like a perfume or a cologne, I see that in like a vase, that I've stored you up, that you have been preserved, that you have been made whole, and that you are priceless in my eyes, of the things that are of worth, that you have been seasoned. And so I call you to be poured out, that is, as ironic as it sounds, something that is stored that's so precious, that I'm calling you to be poured out, that it may bless men. remaining, that the savor will not go away, that the fragrance will not go away, but as you pour it out, it will continually broadcast, that it will spread through where it lands, and it will uncorrupt those things that are corrupted as you speak my words and deliver to those that are seeking and wanting, and to those that are not, that it will be an offensive odor, something very unfragrant, and that is fine, because for those that are seeking, that have the ears to hear and the eyes to see, that it will be a beautiful odor, and they will say many great things, and that they will rejoice before me and come before me through you, that you are saying these things and doing these things. So pour yourselves out and make yourselves available, and do not hold up or do not bar in the things that I have given you, for great treasures have I put upon you, and many more do I have for you, that I am able to fill and continue filling, that there is no end to my vastness that I am able to pour out upon you. So come before me, that I may be able to fill you, that through you may be able to fill many.